Podcast.
Rock City.
What's up, everybody? Joe here from Podcast Rock City. And with me this week is Mr. Jody Have-Nots.
What's up, Kiss? I'm A.
And joining us this week is Mr. Andrew Kiss.
Helosium.
Helosium. Yeah. Oh, how you okay. doing, Andrew?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I am doing very well. It's great to have you on. We've great missed you.
I've missed you guys.
So
I have cardboard skeletons of you guys in my room. So
using it in the carpool funny. Lane and shit.
Yeah.
They've been cracking down on that with some of the lanes. Or the GTA, though, people with fucking mannequins and whatnot.
Do they really? I know I've heard of it happening, but I didn't realize it was a problem.
Well, it's not like an epidemic, but it still happens.
That's pretty funny. So I hope everybody's having a great week. Thank you for listening to the last show. A couple of things real quick with some news.
Podcast Rock City News.
Somebody posted right before we came on pictures of Ace's merch, I guess, overseas. And the picture shows the Space Invader spaceship with, like, Ace.
Right.
Like, the cutout of Ace from Love Gun on the shirt. Yeah. And the other one is, what was the other one?
It kind of looks like the comic book, but Ace is in the, looks like the Dynasty gear and, like, has a guitar. It's pretty cool. You know, it's pretty interesting, though. I was just thinking about it. You know, obviously, Ken Kelly painted that album cover and Ace from Love Gun that they kind of inserted into there. But when I interviewed Ken Kelly, he was telling me that one of Ace's requests was to make that cover in the Love Gun colors. So, I mean, it fits perfectly because of that, you know?
Right, yeah. That's pretty awesome.
But what do you think? If Gene and Paul own that, like everybody says, then did Ace have to license it from Kiss to use it on his album?
Oh, I don't know.
Merch, you know what I'm saying?
Do our copyright laws apply in England, if that's where Ace is, or wherever he is? Do our copyright laws apply there? If they don't...
I'm sure they do, because you'd see more of this, you know, like, once you see more of this in the past.
You would think. Those also could just be something that someone made on Photoshop, and, you know, you never know with these posts. Where did you see it on? Was it on the Kiss website or Ace's
official? Yeah, somebody posted on Kiss Chikara.
Okay, so it wasn't like Ace's official website or a Kiss one or anything, right?
Just no, like but a
Facebook
it looks,
page.
No, I agree. It's not on that, but it looks pretty good.
It looks
good.
Like real merch. But yeah. If it is, though, what does Kiss think about that? And is that going to fuel the whole rumor mill once again, like new fire to that flame, you know?
Of course it is.
I tune out of all that shit, so I don't know, but I'm assuming.
Until I see it, I won't either care or believe it.
Exactly.
You know?
But I don't know, man, that's pretty trippy that he's got the Love Gun Ace standing in front of that spaceship on the Space Invader cover. It looks cool. Looks really cool.
Yeah. We'll look more into it for you guys out there. Also, Paul Stanley's band played last night. Did you see any of the video?
Nope. I did finally watch the Gene footage, though.
Yeah, I saw the Gene stuff.
How was it?
It's good. He's tuning down to D, so like maybe he's having trouble with vocals, too, or that range. But yeah, it sounded good, though.
I actually thought the band itself sounded really good. You know, but
that was weird to see him play a jazz bass.
Yeah, was it like a P bass or a jazz bass? I couldn't see the pickup.
Yeah,
but yeah.
It was a Fender a jazz bass. Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's old school. But it just seemed so crazy. Gene just seems so out of sorts between the songs. Like, he doesn't know what to do. He needs Paul so bad between the songs.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
But he'll hang in there because he's a natural entertainer. And
like, he's just telling the same old stupid jokes. Like, he said that joke about how he's, these are semantics, but I'm not anti-semantic. You know, I've heard that one a lot lately. But it's like, come on, Gene.
At least he wasn't doing, like, Springsteen raps or just be like, yeah, my mom took me to the theater in Israel, and she put me on her shoulders, and I saw those cowboys.
I miss Andrew.
At least he's not doing
it. Oh, Andrew. Anyway, so he came off nervous. I haven't watched it. I watched a little bit of the Paul Stanley footage that George Lopez streamed.
Oh yeah,
last night. George Lopez, a huge Kiss fan. You're
talking Soul Station.
Yeah.
Okay.
Uh huh.
I'll have to check it out. But that Gene thing, dude. Not to keep harping on it, but it's like, I don't know, man. I only saw like this typical songs. Like nothing really stood out as like, wow, I can't believe he did that.
I honestly thought he was going to do, like, a variety hour, like a Sonny and Cher type, like, just have sketches or something like that, because that was his solo album, so, like, you think that'd be...
I don't know, man.
All right, Jody, you have to stop watching.
Yeah.
Because you're going in a few weeks.
Yeah. You know what he did cover, though? You remember when he was on they were on The Voice, and he was talking about that song by that guy that he gets ready to in the makeup?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What was his name? I can't think of it.
You know I can't remember. About, the cowboy something where
it was like the guy, the contestant's dad or something, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, Gene's and his band did that song, so that's really kind of cool. So
that's interesting.
A random cover from Gene's kind of interesting.
It was just, that whole story, that whole thing was strange, man. Because you know, Gene was sitting there, and they mentioned that kid's father was there the night before, and Gene genuinely seemed so disappointed that he wasn't there to meet him. And he said that he had been listening to that song every day while he put his makeup on, every day he put his makeup on for 40 years.
That's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, that's really, when you think, you go back and listen to it, and you're like, whoa, that's pretty nuts.
Yeah.
Let's see. A couple of things I want to mention real quick. If you guys want to send us a message about the show or about a topic you'd like, podcastrockcity1.
That's the number one.
@gmail.com.
Gstring.com.
So and also, podcastrockcity.com has a premium membership for 99 cents a month. And Jody and I and whoever we can get to do extra stuff.
I won't do any live cams, though.
Not since the last one.
It's no, like, not since the last one. I've still gotten complaints, yeah.
You got complaints. I got the letters going, do it again, do it again. Anyway, yeah, so you can
more sign candles. Up for
99 cents a month. Anyway, also, we'll talk a little bit about the Nashville Rock and Pod Expo a little bit later. If you look that up, it's going to be a place where Jody and I will be at an expo coming up later this year, and you can come and hang out with us.
I'm really going to try to make it down there.
Oh, are you really?
I'm trying, yeah.
Fuck it, Andrew.
Andrew, I'll pay for the plane ticket myself.
No, you will not.
Oh, good, yes, I will. No. Okay, well, we'll talk about that another time. Anyway, let's get on to our topic.
Podcast Rock City, topic of the week. Yes!
This week, you know, I was sitting around. I said, hey, Jody, what are we going to talk about? He said, all right, why don't we talk about that video that Andrew did that nobody... No, I'm kidding. That's not it.
Where all those women were vying to become the holsters to his love gun.
Yeah. That's so good. So we decided to do another Versus show. We did a Versus show before. This is our second one. And we're going to do Lick It Up versus Creatures of the Night. Show's over. Creatures of the Night wins. Good night, everybody.
I think not.
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't go that direction either, man.
All right, so I guess we're going to talk about it.
First of all, don't you? It's probably like one of the most interesting periods in history because you have like the ending of the makeup, the new rebirth, right?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And to me, you know, you always heard that argument where Paul's like, Creatures was a better album, but people weren't listening to it. They were listening with their eyes and all that.
No, they weren't listening at all because you fucked off to Europe for a while and did a concept album.
True.
Yeah.
You know, like, he could spin it all he wants, but it's because they left.
Yeah.
It's true, they left.
I think it was more than just that. I think it was the whole, like, Dynasty Unmasked, then The Elder, the triple threat.
Oh, no, but I mean, like, that was the whole thing that just got him pissed off, was that...
Yeah, they were just gone, at least in North America, anyhow, right?
Yeah.
Right off the top, though, which album do you think is stronger, just because Paul thinks Creatures? I don't think so.
I think sonically Creatures, but I think Lick It Up has better material overall.
So you think sonically?
Like, drum-wise especially.
Yeah. See, to me, I mean, I know that everyone always thinks I'm crazy, but I mean, I like the drum sound on I Love It Loud because it starts with those booming drums, but that same sound on those other songs to me, I don't know. I like my drums a little bit drier, dude.
I like the superior one for me is Music from the Elders drums.
Yeah. Huh.
It's just the perfect balance.
Yeah. But I mean, like Creatures, it has so much reverb. It's like...
I get it, though. It's a little muddy and everything.
Unless I'm like a guy in like an echo chamber somewhere.
My advice to you would be to delete that.
Anyways, but you know what I'm saying? Like, sonically, everyone...
Besides Mystery Science Theater, we quote some kind of monster the most.
Yeah. Besides, like, Metal Up Your Podcast, they use it too, which is awesome.
I can check them out. I'll have to.
Dude, if you haven't heard it, you gotta check it out. It's Clint Wells, Ethan Luck, and they just do Metallica. It's like Podcast Rock City, but Metallica. It's awesome. Check it out.
Wow. They definitely quote them more. I need to check them out.
Yeah, it's really cool. Anyways. Yeah,
what I like is the fact that they decided not to do Megadeth, and they did Metallica instead, because the guitar playing in the Metallica albums is superior.
You know what I was going to do for my intro was like a really embarrassing Kirk Hammett quote, but I didn't because it was my first time coming back in a while.
Yeah, I really wish you had.
I just remember Jason leaving the band, and I remember I just started bawling.
Okay, back to Kiss, for God's sakes, what's wrong with us?
Insufficient data at the moment, Starchild.
So what's the strong points of Lick It Up for you guys?
On the 8th day is a really, it's a hidden gem for sure. And definitely the solos, because they're not fully, like, they're not full-on Invasion solos. Like, sure, they can get chaotic, but it was nothing compared to what he was doing live. It was, you know, it was speedy, but it was still tame to a degree. Just sort of songwriting in general, like, Exciter's a really cool opener. I'm a little burnt out from Lick It Up, but I mean, like, Young and Wasted just kills.
I will agree with you. I love Young and Wasted. I don't mind Not for the Innocent at all.
Yeah, it's, I think the only clunker really is Give Me More.
I don't like Dance All Over Your Face.
Yeah, all that too.
That one's a slightly weaker.
I don't care how stupid Fits Like a Glove is, I enjoy it. Maybe I'm an idiot, but I enjoy it.
No, I like that song.
I love
too.
That one. Don't you feel, though, that this album, compared to Creatures, Lick It Up, is more of an album? Like, it has a cohesive thing going on.
Yeah, as legendary as Creatures is by the fans, and it's a great album, it's got way more clunkers on it, in my opinion.
Yeah, me too. I think it's a part of the reason, though, that Lick It Up's like a more cohesive is because you got it's the band writing it. You got mostly Vinny and Paul and Gene, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they didn't have like a revolving door of
guitar,
you know,
players,
lead guitarists, and mismatch and like dysfunction, Ace not even being there, worrying about that. It was a fresh start, clean slate, clean faces, you know.
Yeah.
Michael James Jackson, you know, produced the record with Paul and Gene. Do you think that they used him both times because of the success, or how Creature sounded? Do you think that they were just so happy with him, or do you think they just...
I do.
I mean, you know.
Yeah, because Paul loves Creatures of the Night. He's always been singing its praises, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think that they were real happy with that sound. And I'm not saying it's bad, but for me, the drums are just a little too verbed.
I can totally hear that, so I get where you come from.
It sounds great on I Love It Loud because the drums start that song.
Well, that's, yeah.
But on the rest of the songs, I don't know. It's just a production thing.
Well, I don't think the reverb is as prevalent on the rest of the songs, but it's still there and still muddies it up here and there.
Yeah. I think they got a better guitar tone on Lick It Up, too, you know? It's got this nice mid-range growl.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds great. Especially on, like, All Hell's Breaking Loose.
So, what about the track listing for Creatures of the Night, you know?
I don't think it's as strong. I mean, the songs that I only like a few, like, I really love. I love Creatures. I love It Loud. I Still War Love Machine. You. War Machine and Killer, and that's all.
Mm-hmm. You don't like Danger? And
no, not really.
Stupid.
Nah. I hate Keep Me Coming. Saint and Sinner ain't for me. Rock and Roll Hell bores me.
Oh, I love Rock and Roll Hell.
I think sounds good, but it's too slow for my taste. And I know I said I Still Love You, but that doesn't count because it's a ballad. You know, it's got to be slow.
Yeah, yeah. I love every song on that record. I don't know. Maybe everybody's different, you know? Yeah.
I mean, most people think Creatures is one of the greatest, and to me, it's not even in the top 10.
Well, the tracks I do like on there are, like, superior tracks, but as a complete package, it's not the album. Like, I wouldn't worship the album like a lot of Kiss fans do. Like, great songs for the ones I do like, but the lows are really low on that album for me.
I think Creatures gets a lot of respect because it was kind of them trying to go back and be heavy again after the debacle of the previous three, right?
So right. It gives it extra
credit with people so they don't see it for what it is. That's a good record, don't get me wrong, but it's not as good as Lick It Up. No way.
No.
Do you think that it was wise of them to, you know, with me just coming off the cruise and I got to see like a semi-tank on the cruise, you know, and do you think that it was wise of them to keep that stage and, you know, for the Lick It Up tour?
I think they kept it because A, it would save money, and B, no one really saw it on the Creatures tour anyway.
Nah. Yeah, I guess that's true.
Compared to how many people saw it on the Lick It Up tour, I would imagine. I mean, Lick It Up was a platinum record. Creatures eventually went gold, I think, right? Like, years later.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, I think it was a cool enough stage item that could save them money and then still be cool. Like, it could be cool anytime, really. Because it doesn't really have anything to do with a Creatures of the Night, like, motif or idea. It was more like, we're going to roll over anyone that comes in front of us. We're Kiss, and it's been 10 years, and you know what I'm saying? Because, I mean, that's the only real tie to that tank.
Well, the interview that I saw recently was them talking about how it was representative of a War Machine.
Well, yeah, I could see that. I didn't think about that.
Well, so that's part of it, you know. But still, you know, coming along and bringing that stage back, I guess, you know, financially it was smart, you know, because it gave Kiss that one more opportunity to save a little money while they made a little money.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then they didn't have to build a new stage in case there was failure, you know, because they didn't know what was going to happen.
Yeah, they had no idea. Plus, the tank, like, represented heavy metal, you know?
Sure.
Which they were trying to push at the time.
One of the things I never stress on this show, I think everybody always gets it, is that, you know, we're always just giving our opinions of what we think. You know, we don't claim to be experts. And when I'm sitting here and I'm listening to us, I was like, you know, talk about this, I'm going, I wonder if anybody like questions what we're doing. But you know, it's just,
well, this isn't our day job.
No,
yeah, man. It's just three dudes sitting around talking about Kiss. Do you think that there was ever a time where, you know, they were standing on stage in Rio with, you know, 150,000 people watching them and going, you know, you think that they were sitting there on stage going, oh man, look, we're back, see?
No, because...
Or do you think they just never...
No, they knew the writing was on the... Like, they knew that that wasn't going to be forever.
Right, and Paul had been wanting to take the shit off way before that, even.
Right. Yeah, he wanted to since, like, Unmasked.
Pretty much, yeah.
That's when he talked.
Yeah, I think...
But the feel's out.
If I'm not mistaken, I think they were already kind of in the process of figuring out how they were going to do it without makeup when that whole Brazil thing popped up, and then you just went back and did it knowing that it was already going to be, this was the last thing, you know? I think that's how it read in the book. I could be wrong. Yeah. Been wrong before, but...
Oh, yeah, speaking of being wrong, I got a message from Chris Sinzak. He didn't play... He didn't say it like that, by the way. He was like, hey, I just want... Last week when we were talking about Destroyer, right?
Yeah.
You're fucking wrong, Joe. You're fucking
wrong. and I mentioned Shout that there was... Chris. Chris is awesome. Yeah. The video about where Kiss is playing overseas. They're doing Detroit Rock City in
Germany.
And they're live costumes. Well, Chris sent me a message. If you guys don't know who Chris is, he has a show called Decibel Geeks. Make sure you check that show
out.
With
Aaron Camaro.
Yes, Aaron Camaro, who has the coolest name.
Mm-hmm.
And the show's badass.
Better than Donnie Trans Am.
Yes.
Or Mick Fury.
Anyway, he said that the costumes for Destroyer were not done when that album was finished. That's why you're still seeing the album was done. They were playing it live, but they didn't have the costumes yet.
Cool.
That's pretty interesting. You'd think that they would have, you know what I mean?
So did Ken Kelly paint the cover just off of designs?
He painted them off of the Allied costumes.
Well, I know the original one, but
that was the original
Once they sent it back and said, look, you gotta change these costumes and obviously all the shit in the background, blah, blah, blah. But so they didn't have it, like a physical, they just had the designs for what they were gonna.
Yes, so. Yeah, I guess
went, so. He traveled to the future, looked at Sonic Boom, and then chose inspiration.
Yeah.
I know that's a paradox, and they wouldn't have existed without the Destroyer. I'm not a fucking idiot, I know.
Still funny.
Oh, my goodness, so funny. So thank you, Chris, for calling and straightening us up, or straightening me out there. Yeah, totally appreciate it.
Please do, because I bet there's 30 things we fucked up.
Yeah, already.
Already.
Yeah, it's like, now, Joe, your opinion on what is good is wrong.
Right.
Anyway, so what else about these records? I mean, what is there anything that, in your opinion, Creatures blows Lick It Up out of the water at?
The cover.
Yeah, the cover, obviously.
Like, I know it's an easy shot, but Vinny, what the fuck's up with your hair?
Yeah, it's a wig, I think, isn't it? Did somebody
say it is, yeah.
And like a mannequin's body.
With the reduced Adam apple, according to, like, Gene, like, that was one of his notes.
If you look at the record, when somebody tells you about that it's just a mannequin in, like, some suit, you could totally see they just cropped his head onto it. Like, it looks, like, his neck looks too big for those shoulders.
Just, like, why isn't he wearing black, too? Like, just...
Because it's got to be pink. It's Vinnie Vincent, dude.
Why wasn't he there?
By that logic, it has to be purple because it's Paul Stanley, but it's not. It's black.
Right.
It's like, how much more black can it be? And the answer is some more black if he changed his fucking shirt.
I like the Tina Turner wig that he's wearing.
Yeah,
I'm looking at it right now, and I just don't understand.
Check out Gene's hand, dude.
Mm-hmm.
His, like, his right hand. It's like obviously cropped. It's at some impossible length and angle. It's crazy.
Paul's looking very Cleopatra-y.
Yeah.
He's like, look what time it is on my watch. Can't really tell. But you do see the onk around Vinny's neck, though.
Yeah.
That's pretty badass.
A little throwback.
Yeah, I guess that's what they're doing there.
Gene's got the same necklace from, like, the Elder and shit. It's cool.
And Gene's got the same boots.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I assume.
Good point. Very good point.
Paul looks nice. Eric looks cool. Eric looks kind of tough.
Dude, Eric looks fucking great in anything. Even the hawk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That face, just that's the definition. Like, that should be of just disappointment or just sad in the dictionary. And then it's just
that, like, full on photo of him in the hawk.
Just
makeup.
That face. He just looks so sad.
Yeah,
he
looks, dude, wouldn't you?
Please don't make me be this bird. Please.
Dude, call him hawk. Give it up for Tyler Carr.
What about the videos? Let's talk about. We only got one video, right? For Creatures.
Honestly, Paul's barrel roll is the coolest thing. Like, it, I think it might beat the other two videos.
No, you mean right before the solo?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. Yeah.
Although the Cher Diana Ross sword fight is pretty cool. That makes up for the rubber. That makes up for the mustard and rubber skull. And, look it up.
Share Diana Ross.
That's how I look at that video forever.
Yeah, no, it's true. The sword fight. I love the part when Paul takes the sword and swings it, and then Gene just kind of covers his face and moves them along. No, those videos. So Lick It Up and All Hell's Breaking Loose. You know, do you think why this is their first real attempt at shooting videos? You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's their first MTV style video. Yeah.
Because they've shot videos their whole career.
Yeah.
You know, you could go back.
Yeah, but those were promo. Like, what's right. Is it like the reboot, remake argument? What's the difference? Is it just because it's for a major, like, the first network to show those videos? Is that making a music video versus a promo?
That's what I'm thinking. You know, there, you know, somebody told me one time that the real original music videos came from like the Beatles and the Monkees. If you go back and you could watch, you know, the Monkees on their TV show, they were shooting.
Yeah,
it was Larry King with a banjo. That was the first.
Probably.
Yeah, they just didn't call them music videos because there wasn't MTV yet, so they just called it promo so they could send it overseas or to the news or what have you.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's the same damn thing.
Yeah, any of those videos that they shot, you know, originally would have been fine for MTV. Even some of the stuff that, I mean, a lot of times it was just other bands would just shoot themselves live and, you know, put them on.
But Kiss and Makeup, they were never going to play that MTV. It was already, MTV was the 80s and Kiss was dead in the 80s at first.
Mm-hmm.
Until Lick It Up.
They're a bunch of decrepit 30-year-olds, according to them. They're dinosaurs at the age of 30.
It's like that thing where you'd sent me the... Even Paul talks about it in his book, where they shot the I Want My MTV and the Creatures get-ups, and they wouldn't play it, you know?
I want my MTV! Now!
So, them taking the makeup off, a lot of that was strictly to get on MTV, because you had to.
And we had the freedom to eventually do my own cooking show, the Parmesan Brussels Sprouts.
What would the name of the cooking show Paul Stanley had be?
It would be... what it would be.
All right, there's our question of the week.
Salmon's on fire? I don't know.
Salmon's on fire. You guys out there listening, send us... That's our question of the week. What would, if you could get Paul Stanley to have his own cooking show, what would you title it? Something with Star Child, you know?
He wrote Mainline, so that would be like the theme music, since it talks about hot like an oven. But it's not strong enough for a title.
No.
It can't be Paul Stanley's Mainline. People think it would be like about drugs.
No, that's the hotline to call in during.
Yeah.
It's a live cooking show. Right.
It's like a home shopping / cooking show where he's like, while those Brussels sprouts are cooking, check out this Kiss Chia Pet.
It grows out of the top of his head and his chest.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
The snowblower. The Kiss snowblower. It looks like a big 3 years cock.
Old, those fucking ideas. You're still talking about
them. They're funny. And people probably that listen have no idea. A lot of people never listen to Strange Ways.
Oh, jeez, yeah.
That was our early days. Now we became professional now that we've hooked up with Joe.
Now we're professionals.
Consummate.
Consummate.
Yeah.
That's pretty funny. That's
funny. But yeah, I think that on the merits of the cover, you got to go Creatures. But
get all videos, you can bake.
There you go. Get all you can bake.
Yeah. Oh, that's it right there. That's Paul Stanley's good. Get All You Can Bake.
I didn't know about the muffins in the pan. I didn't really care.
For you guys out there that want to, hey, send us a better one. Yes,
ours were stupid, so send us a good one.
Cook it up! Cook it up!
There you go.
Anyway, you guys out there, I know you're more creative than we are. Think about it. Send it to us.
I want you. I need you to grease this pan.
See, we're getting there. We're getting there.
Slowly.
Eat it like a piece of cake.
Oh, yep. I knew that.
With the fucking Yeah.
How many times would Paul Stanley stick his middle finger in his mouth? And
right.
All right, so let's get back to the records. The Gene songs, you guys feel like they're solid on these two records?
Well, they're all right, but like they're not like the total clunkers. Like once you get to Animalize.
Yeah, I think. Well, let's look at Creatures. What's Gene do? He does Rock and Roll Hell, Saint and Sinner, right?
I Love It Loud.
I Love It Loud. Killer is Killer, and War Machine's pretty badass.
Like they're not terrible. Like nothing he does on Creatures is absolutely terrible.
It's same more, thing with
like Dance All Over Your Face song. Look It Up is like. Yeah, that's pretty bad.
Don't you feel, though, that's like the first album that Gene's really done anything? If you look at Dynasty, two songs, Mass, just a few.
Showing up a bit more.
Yeah, a little bit more back to form Demon, kind of like an early revenge sort of situation. But then if you look at Lick It Up, though, he's got Not For the Innocent, Rules. Young and Wasted, even though I prefer Eric's vocals, is still badass on Lick It Up.
Absolutely.
What else is on there? Fits Like a Glove. Absolutely classic.
Can't forget the Hot Butter.
Can't forget about the dancing on people's faces.
Yeah, I can forget that.
You gotta sink teeth and all that. And yeah, on the eighth day, I mean, that's like the unsung Kiss fucking anthem. It is.
That's like non-makeup God of Thunder.
I'd say Gene's stronger on Lick It Up.
Mm-hmm. And definitely unsung.
Yeah. But what about Paul? What do you guys think about the Paul songs?
I like everything Paul does, so...
Well, who doesn't? But you know what I'm saying. Objectively, he's got some stinkers on here, right?
Yeah, I guess. I you know, my thing about it is, unfortunately and fortunately, when it comes to Paul, I can always find something about the song that makes me go, yeah, that makes it great. It's usually vocal.
Yeah.
You know?
I think, though, that just the simple fact that I Still Love You is on here makes up for the rest of the clunkers for Paul in this category, though. Because, man, you know my feelings on that damn song. It's definitely the best Kiss power ballad of all time. Paul's most, like, impressive vocals.
Excuse
dude, really.
Me?
Here it comes.
I finally found my way to you.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, it's okay. Just... Paul in top form, dude. Especially live, you know, the song. Just
Unplugged. And I don't think he's topped that performance ever.
Yeah, man. You know, it's the funniest thing is, it's because that always comes up. That's the, you know, that's the, when people say I Still Love You, they always go, oh, the Unplugged version is so, you know, it's. He really topped himself with that, you know?
Yeah, it's because you could really hear him loud and clear, you know?
God, I still feel like they should have done a video for that song, you know?
Don't you think if that song was on Lick It Up, it would have been a huge hit?
Yeah, I Still Love You. I agree.
Because
yeah,
they could have came out of the gate the way they did, but still had this amazing power ballad in the pocket, you know, to have that third vid.
I don't really think that fits with the formula for... It just doesn't seem like... An 80s power, like it's a power ballad, but it doesn't seem like an MTV type.
Well, it's not like in the formula of Every Rose Has Its Thorn, but it's more of like it would have fit in with like the Scorpions and shit like that, I think, you know?
Yeah. I still think vein. It's like a standard, it's a different beast, I feel, than that's just how I hear it, but it's just, yeah. I don't.
But I think it would have been a huge hit. I really do, because you can't deny well, the vocal.
Yeah, but like, look how great, Turn on the Night is, or whatchamacallit.
What, like Reason to Live?
Yeah, just, you can have that same argument, and that came out at a time, and that's what they were trying to shoot for, and it still didn't do well. Do you know, because
it actually did pretty well. It did pretty well.
Not compare it to Def Leppard or Bon Jovi.
No, but
like, it's gonna have that same sort of it's that makeup band. Like
yeah, well, it was always the stigma, right?
I don't think that it would have much of a like. I don't think it would have made much of a difference because like Kiss was old man music. You know what I mean? Like it wasn't fresh. Like they were trying to bury that. So if they came out with that, even in non makeup, I think. Like, I don't think it would make much of a difference.
I don't know. I guess, I don't know. I mean, look at Forever. That was a pretty big hit, and it's nowhere near as good as I Still Love You, right?
Forever, I think it's better.
Do you?
Yeah.
See, I don't.
And I'll probably be my last appearance on here, but I'll go out.
Yeah, right.
I agree with Jericho, though, that that's one of the greatest solos of all time, was Bruce's solo on there.
Oh, yeah. Classic. Inspired by Paul. Bruce said he had
inspired by Zeppelin.
Yeah,
by Zeppelin.
Yeah. He went and bought the tape just so Bruce could like hear what he was talking about. It's pretty cool. I can't remember. Was it like Thank You or something?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, pretty cool. Yeah, I don't know. I just think, though, that as an album, Creatures is not as strong as Lick It Up. It just doesn't have the cohesive thing. And it's probably like we talked about, the different guitar players and the whole, like, not really knowing where they were going.
Suing your own record label.
Yeah, I mean...
Still, you got to admit that even though they, you know, had all those different hands put in, at least for me, the record still sounds pretty close. Like, you know, I was young enough to believe that Ace was still playing on those records. I didn't get the style. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But... So obviously I was tricked. Older people probably weren't. But when you listen to the music, I don't know. It seems like it all belongs on the Creatures record. You know what I mean?
It has a sound.
Yeah, it goes together.
But I don't think that the solos don't really have a cohesive. You can't tell. You can tell it's not all one guy and one guy's style. You know, I can. I couldn't when I was a little kid. No, but.
Well, that's, you know, what I'm talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah.
When I first got the record.
Let me ask you this, though. You know, Kiss decided that Creatures was so good that they should just re-release it with a new cover and all that, which was the first one I ever had. It had Bruce on the cover and the ass on the back. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it still didn't sell. So maybe Lick It Up has just got better songs. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because even if they re-release this album so people could see it as the new Kiss that was selling, platinum, Lick It Up, Animalize was even more, like double platinum maybe, I don't know. But platinum plus anyhow, right? So, I mean, they re-released Creatures in 85, I think it was, right? With Bruce. And
right, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think Gene looks great on that cover. He looks really cool, all blacked out. But, yeah, still didn't really sell. Didn't make any difference, you know.
Do you think that that album, though, as far as the quality of music and the songs and the sound, it still it didn't sell well, but it should have.
I think if they would have released it in the place of Unmasked, it would have been like AC/DC's Back in Black. You know, it would be one of those records that today people would still be revering. You know. Rather than only Kiss freaks revering it, you know?
Yeah.
But a little too late on that record, you know what I'm saying?
That was the, you know, the mistake was to keep going in the direction they were going. But they had success with Dynasty, and you can't blame them. You can't say, oh, you blew it. They didn't blow it.
No. They did fine everywhere else. I mean, they were doing fine. But maybe they should have kept Unmasked, and then instead of The Elder, went straight to Creatures. I don't know. I mean, you could argue that shit all day in hindsight, but I don't know. I think that the whole idea of them with the rebirth really made them go into the studio for Lick It Up strong, you know, and just lay it out there and see what was going to happen because they didn't know. You know what I'm saying? They had no clue. And even in Paul's book, he's talking about how scary it was, but at the same time, really exciting. So I think it was a pretty big move for them to do so, but they had to, right? They had to take the makeup off and they had to at least make a rockin' album to like show people that they're still around and they could still rock. And I think that's why there's no real power ballad on Lick It Up, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's all balls to the wall.
It's just a weird time in history, though. You know, it's like death and rebirth. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I wish they would have done more than one promo video for it and... You know, but that's probably all they could get Ace for.
Yeah, well, they did a couple of those ones for TV stuff. You could maybe count those, but
I don't know. But it was, wasn't it always, or it would be Creatures of the Night, right? or it was I Love It Loud. It was one of the two on the TV shows that they were on overseas.
Where they did like Charisma 2 for some reason in those outfits. In like Mexico, or am I mistaken?
Yeah, Mexico. You're right. I remember that.
Or was that in the Elder
situation? I think it was Creatures. I'm gonna have to go back and look, but
yeah, Chris, let us know, dude. We can always count on the Decibel Geek, man. They know their shit.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. All right, so let's talk about the ranking. What do you guys think? So you guys put Lick It Up ahead of Creatures. I do the opposite because you guys are wrong. And how many stars do you give Lick It Up?
Out of what, 5?
Yeah.
3.5?
For me, I'd probably give it like a 4, you know?
So I would give it a Lick It Up a 3.5, and Creatures a, for me, like a 4, 4.5. I love that record.
Yeah. I'd probably give Creatures a 3.
Yeah, I'd give it a 3.
But see, like for me, like I was saying, like I had all these other great Kiss albums by the time I got even just the 85 reissue of Creatures with Bruce on the cover, you know? And it's like, it just didn't, maybe I was used to like some of those same songs versions on like that Analyzed and Censored because I watched that a lot. Creatures is better live. I Love It Loud, kind of better live. I don't know. I just didn't listen to Creatures a whole lot, even when I finally got it. Even when I finally got it with a makeup cover, like, years later. It took forever to find that, you know?
Yeah.
So maybe I just, by then, I was just that kind of, like, typical 80s heavy metal sound wasn't for me, you know?
Yeah, I guess so. I get that.
But it's still a strong record, and one of the coolest album covers they got. You know, I love that album cover. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's still so much better than Dressed to Kill.
I don't know about that, but...
I'm kidding with you.
But so a lot of people do think that it is, you know, and, you know, people have their own opinions. That's okay. It's just, I think it all comes down to, like, when you got them and where you were in your life and what they meant to you at the time, because that carries forward, you know?
Yeah, you know, that's the thing about how, you know, loving a band with so many records is, you know, it's kind of like when you discover a band that's been around 10 years, but you never heard of them. The next thing you know, you're going, oh, they have more records, and you go back, and, you know, it's the same way with Kiss, with yourself, you know, or with Andrew, you know. Andrew, what was your first record, Alive 4?
No, he had You Wanted the Best.
You Wanted the Best.
No, it's You Wanted the Best, You Got the Best, yeah.
Right, I remember that. You know, so, you know, that was the first thing that you heard, and it, you know, I'm not sure if it changed your life, but it definitely did something, right? You know?
The intro to Rock Bottom on there definitely did.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
George.
Yeah, totally crazy. George.
Yes.
All right, well, that's cool. That was a really awesome little discussion about Lick It Up versus Creatures of the Night.
Shooting you down with our love guns here on Podcast Rock City. Yeah! Love gun! Love gun!
Love gun! Love gun! You want to talk about the tour?
Yeah, the tour, you know, the Lick It Up tour, you remember when they started that, they billed it as a makeup show, the first show, right?
Yeah, people thought they were getting Kiss and makeup.
Yeah,
I was just listening to Paul's a couple chapters about the whole Creatures and Lick It Up shit last night too, and Paul was saying like people, all the posters there were, you know, Kiss and makeup, and when they came out, people didn't know what was going on. They didn't even know if it was Kiss. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. They were like, what's going on? You know, we got to do a show on Vinny. I don't know. I can't remember if we've ever done a show on Vinny. Somebody actually messaged us and asked if we would do a show on Vinny and give our thoughts, you know?
You got to get Chris in for that one.
Yeah, but doing the whole Lick It Up tour, you know, he really pushed it, didn't he? I mean, it was
big time. There was that part where, like, Paul and Gene, like, busted into his solo. And just were like, Vinny Vincent, the guitar. And then when the lights went out, Vinny came over and was like, you asshole, you humiliated me. And Paul said, if he raises his hand, I'm going to knock him the fuck out.
He said, the lights are going to come out, and he's going to be laying on the ground.
He says it, like, in a funny way in the book. I can't remember how he says it, but he's like, his punk ass will be laying there on the floor, sprawled out in pink or some shit.
I mean, well, you've heard of shit going down on stage, you know, so people getting in fights. You know, one of my buddies to this day, you know, my buddy Doug did the, and I don't know if I've ever told this story about the, he did the rock, you know, the rock camp out in California, you know?
Yeah.
And he had just seen Poison here in Atlanta. And then he went to California and he meets Brett Michaels and he walks up to Brett Michaels and he goes, hi, Brett. My name's Doug. I'm from Atlanta. And as soon as he said that, Brett goes, oh, you want to know why Bobby Dahl threw his bass at me on stage?
Oh, shit.
He said he sat there and told him the whole story. Wow. Didn't screw around at all. Told him exactly. Because he went out there to play, you know, Every Rose Has Its Thorn. And in the middle of the song, Bobby Dahl, from off the stage, from the side, you know,
yeah,
threw a bass all the way across the stage and it just missed him.
Damn.
And he told him. So, you know, it wouldn't be, you know, shit happens. You know, live, you know,
right.
Whether it be Sebastian Bach jumping in the crowd or getting popped with a bottle or, you know, we've all seen that footage. That's insane. Yeah. You know,
have you ever been at a show where something crazy happened like that?
Guns N' Roses opening for Motley Crue. I want to say my memory is, because I had at that point, I didn't know who Guns N' Roses were. At the point, they were the opening act.
Right on.
You know, I don't think their album had broke yet. And I just remember remembering, oh, I saw this band Guns N' Roses and their singer jumped into the crowd last night.
Yeah. I was actually at St. Louis Guns N' Roses riot, dude.
I know, that's insane. Nuts.
But you know, one of the craziest things that ever happened to me at a show was like the Dwarves were playing here in St. Louis for the first time, right? And
who were?
The Dwarves. Not the Killer Dwarves, the Dwarves.
Okay.
Like punk rock band. Ahead. Anyhow, there's their guitar player. He's called He Who Cannot Be Named, and a lot of times he plays naked, you know?
That's funny. And, I have an ex-wife I call that. That's pretty funny.
That's great.
Except it's a she.
A she who cannot be named. Anyhow, in the middle of the show, everyone's going fucking ape shit, man. Like, the pit's kind of ridiculous. But my friend Joe, in the midst of all this madness, gets like, he's going just getting tossed around and shit. He ends up with his face smushed right on He Who's freaking junk, dude, all sweaty and gross. Like, it just like was like smush. And dude, I never let him live it down. He'll never live it down. Every time I'm seeing him, I'm like, remember that time when He Who's cock was all over your face? He's like, fuck you.
That's a messy day, and you just told the whole story.
Yeah,
that's so what's awesome,
up, Joe.
Yeah,
but that riot was ridiculous too, man. I got a million crazy things that happened to that, but we're not going to get into all that.
Yeah, well, you'll have to discuss that with the Metallica podcast.
Yeah, the Guns N' Roses riot was with Skid Row. It wasn't with
that was Skid Row. I thought it was the Metallica one.
Nah. Would have been awesome if Metallica would have been there at that time. That would have been badass. But they weren't.
Andrew, you there?
Yep. Sorry, I was just listening.
So mostly the Creatures tour is a failure, and Lick It Up was pretty well received tour-wise, mm-hmm. Right?
There's actually footage every once in a while where you can see, you know, online where they're playing during the Creatures tour, and when Paul is talking or singing, the venue sounds empty.
I bet. A lot of times they were, according to him, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you can throw a pick over the crowd in an arena, something ain't right.
Yeah.
Did you see the Lick It Up tour, Joe?
No. Lick It Up. No.
Yeah, me
neither. I did not see that.
My first was Crazy Nights, as you know. And I've pretty much been to everyone since then, but no, I didn't see Lick It Up. Never saw them make up until the reunion. Sucks. I wish I could have seen at least a Dynasty like most of my buddies.
Still, you've been. That's awesome.
I've seen them enough. Never enough, but you know what I'm saying.
So Kiss puts out Lick It Up, and it just, you know, that's it. That they didn't look back.
No, man, you know? All of a sudden they were back on the radio, on MTV.
Yep.
And they had a hit record again, which is awesome.
Yeah, it gave us more years. We didn't have
the way. If it wasn't for Lick It Up, there probably never would have been a reunion in 96, and they certainly wouldn't be around today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know?
I agree. Yeah.
It basically saved the band. And it could have been any album without makeup, but, you know, taking the makeup off really...
You'll get that debate, you know, Vinny's writing or Vinny saved the band, and, you know.
Ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. I mean, who came up with that argument? It's just kind of stupid.
You know, you hear it, though, you know.
I've heard it before, but it's not one single person. I think it's solely taking the makeup off, and then it saved them again when they put it back on in 96.
Yeah.
It's all about the makeup coming off and on. That's, they're like, you know, ace up their sleeve, you know?
Yeah, it's on for good now, though.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, man. I mean, they've been doing other shows, like those acoustic shows, they don't wear the makeup.
Yeah, that's true.
I think once they get to, like, where they're all in their 70s, they might still be doing acoustic shows with no makeup.
True.
I mean, Gene's, what, 66 or 7? How old is Gene?
Something
he's
like
67
that.
This year, isn't he?
Yeah.
Crazy.
All right, so you want to put this baby to rest. The end of Lick It Up versus Creatures.
Lick It Up wins, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You've been outvoted, Sweet 16 style.
I don't have a problem with that. I can accept defeat.
Yeah, it's no big deal.
93.6% of my life.
That's all of my life.
No, it hasn't. No. Anyway, all right, well, you know, I knew Andrew was going to be on the show, so of course Jody and I put out word.
Did you get any? I don't think I got any.
Of course I got some.
You can look, but I don't think I did.
So I'm going to go ahead and do this.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
Yeah, so this brings us to our favorite part of the show. And this part is called
Ask Andrew.
Absolutely. If you don't know what this is where we ask Andrew questions. Andrew being the youngest member of our team here. You know, people want to know what he thinks about things that he might have missed or whatever. Now, I got three questions. Two of them are serious, okay? Well, Josie and Belly always sends one serious question and one, you know, joke.
Yes, he does.
Okay, so let's go. Let's start with Dan O'Halloran.
Hi, Dan.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. It says, Andrew, if you were to pick the producer on one Kiss album, wait, let me make sure I'm reading this right. If you were to be the producer on one Kiss album, what would that album be and why? How would your finished product differ from the finished record that exists today?
Oof.
That's a good question.
That's a damn good question.
Hmm. I know what I'd do right off the bat.
Honestly, I'd probably Music from the Elder, because that's one of my favorites, and it's such a... I'd probably change it by making it more of a concept record, maybe have more of a story, but that's just the geek in me, but I would love to be a creative force behind that for sure.
Wow.
No, I thought he meant, like, what would you do with a brand new Kiss album you were producing?
I don't think so. Because if you were to be the producer on one Kiss album...
If you would be the producer on one Kiss album...
Which one would it be? What would that album be and why?
Oh, okay.
And how would the finished product differ from the finished record that exists today?
Oh, okay. Yeah, so I probably would have more of a story.
You mean like more like a Queensryche type of Operation Mindcrime, where there's a little more acting and stuff in between the songs, you know, to link them?
Yeah, a bit of like a Kilroy Was Here type dealio.
Gotcha. Okay. Gotcha. Yeah, cool. I got it.
Error?
What would you do?
Oh, I mean,
it's too obvious to say go in and clean up Hotter Than Hell. So what else?
Hotter Than Hell is, yeah, clean up Hotter Than Hell.
That's too obvious. You gotta come up with a better one than that, son.
I honestly,
I know what I would do.
I don't really have an answer to this. It's too hard. I like the idea of fixing up Elder as well, you know, putting more story in. I think that's where they missed the boat partially, but what would you do, Jody?
It's between either I would maybe go back on Alive 2 and just kind of add a couple tracks and maybe axe a couple of those studio ones, and maybe it's either that or I'd go back and kind of pimp out Unmasked and bring up the guitars and bring down some of the synth and stuff like that. And that'd be badass. I would love to hear like a remastered Unmasked or resurrected Unmasked. You know what I'm saying? Just go back with Poncia and just pimp it out, dude, and make it heavier.
Wouldn't it be cool to get that, to get, like, you got a phone call tomorrow from Gene? Hey, we heard what you want to do, and we love the idea. Go do it.
Excuse me, Jody. It's a great idea. We can't pay you much, but
I'd do it for nothing, dude, just to get my hands on those tracks and be able to mix it myself. That's what I like to hear. Great.
You know, Jody, you're a powerful, attractive man. By the way, anyone that's listening, this is Gene Simmons. From Kiss.
Okay. Anyway, all right, we got one more question. We got two more questions, both from Jersey and Billy Crazy Joe. Joe from Detroit. He did not clarify for me here, so we're going to go with this. He said he wants to know what your favorite Unmasked song is. Now, he just means
like Unmasked, like the album.
Yeah, I think so too. So what do you think? What's your favorite?
It's a toss-up between... I know I've ripped on it before, but I'm really liking Shandy lately.
Nice.
And but probably the one that pulled me into that album, As Easy As It Seems. So I probably have to go with that.
That bass line rules.
Yeah, it's really good.
And Joe's other question is, do I smell? I promise I've been around him. He smells wonderful.
He seems like a well groomed gentleman. Like half the photos of him are in a suit, so I don't think so. I've never been next.
He doesn't smell.
What's your favorite on Unmasked, Joe?
Just put the needle down at one.
Is that you?
Really?
Any of those you can just I love the whole record equally.
Right.
I don't skip anything.
I think Tomorrow's the best song on there.
That is a great song. But I could listen to that song as well as Torpedo Girl.
Oh, that's a good song.
Know. I like, you know, the bass line in that song. That is awesome. As creative a bass line you will ever hear on a rock and roll record, you know.
So is the guitar riff in that song is very odd too.
It's cool. It's just you listen to that.
Not that part.
You listen to that song and you're like, man, where did this come from?
Jindal.
Yeah, that's right. All right.
We're very pro Unmasked on this podcast. If you listeners haven't noticed,
yeah, I'm warming up to it.
We always champion this album. We're probably the only podcast for some like weird loves reason. It to death.
Well, one of my favorite non-makeups is Hot in the Shade, so yeah.
While we're sitting here, Ken Keenan just sent a thing that wants to know what Andrew's favorite Kiss greatest hits package is.
I already know.
You wanted the best you got?
Yes.
You wanted the best.
For me, it's double platinum.
Thanks for Ken. Thanks for sending that in, Ken. You sent it right as we were getting done, but it popped up.
Just in the nick of time.
Yes, that's right.
Right on time.
All right. This has been a lot of fun. Getting Andrew back in here to do a show with us is always fun.
Last week, cried.
That's right, and Jody, let's close this one out. You have anything to add?
I would add, thanks so much for listening, everyone who listens. And, stay tuned. We're going to keep doing our thing, and we hope you still dig it all the time. Thank you.
Absolutely. Mr. Kiss.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. Thanks for having me back, and I hope everyone has a great week.
Absolutely. Yes, sir. And
all the Canadian listeners in the greater Toronto area, watch out because a blizzard's coming on Tuesday. So drive safe and prep yourself for that.
Yes, good night. Be prepared. Be prepared. And for you guys out there, we are going to, as soon as we're done with this show, we're going to record some extra premium stuff for the website. So if you heard this, go on over there, check out what we've done. There's a bunch of stuff up there. There's even a little section where I asked questions and was hoping that you guys would give us your opinion, and some of you guys did, and that was awesome. You know that we love KISS podcasts and podcasts about music in general. In general, man, that was a lot of words. Soul. Yeah, absolutely. And you're going to hear all the commercials for the ones that we love right after this show in 3, 2, 1. Peace.
You wanted the best, you got the best. And if you want the hottest show on Montco Radio, join us in the KISS Room. The KISS Room is a monthly radio broadcast celebrating the hottest band in the world. KISS! It's your place for all things KISS and some... For broadcast dates and all information, go to thekissroom.com. The KISS Room broadcasts live and worldwide on Montco Radio, where music and minds meet.
Greetings from Jandel KISS Army. Strange Ways Podcast is having a rock and roll party, and you are invited. Right. Tune in and hang out with your KISS Army bros where they celebrate and discuss the gods of thunder. Yes. You can find the Earth versions on Podomatic, iTunes, Facebook, and Stitcher. Just Google us.
Yes.
Thanks for listening, and remember to eat it like a piece of cake.
History Science Theater, the most civilized.
Yeah. Oh, Lee, come on.
Respectful.
Just imagine G with like a washed up bass. Boom, 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 boom,
boom, boom, boom. And serious.
No, wait.
Excuse me, Bob. You're gonna come over and do my album.
KISS podcast on the web. History Science Theater. We bust balls because we can.
All right, KISS Army. Since 2007, you've been getting Podkissed, the KISS audio fanzine for your ears.
That's right, it's your Podkissed. Every month, the Podkissed crew, along with the KISS Room, brings you KISS talk like no one else, whether it be roundtables, interviews with the band past and present, analysis, and great KISS fun.
Hi, this is Ace Frehley, and you're listening to Podkissed.
Hi, this is Bruce Kulick, and you're listening to Podkissed.
The Podkissed, the KISS audio fanzine for your ears.
Hey, everybody, I'm Aaron.
And I'm Chris.
And we're from the Decibel Geek Podcast, and if you love this...
then you'll love us.
That's right. Brand new episode every single Monday. You can find us on iTunes and at decibelgeek.com. And the best thing is, it's rock and roll, and it's always free.
Sitting around with time to kill. Ladies and gentlemen, do you like metal, punk rock, hardcore, and cracking jokes about being a fan? Yes? Then check out Music the Lifeblood, the podcast that goes deep into the core of being a fan with new music from badass bands, band and genre discussions, along with in-depth interviews from some of punk, metal, and hardcore's titans. Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, Tumblr, and Facebook. Something old, something new, what are you listening to?
Music, the lifeblood. Baby, you know it's only you and me. And as far as I'm concerned, that's all I need. A generation behind.
We're going nowhere, and that's just fine. I'm afraid I've given you all the time I can spare at the moment, my dear. You'll have to come back. Thank you, and goodbye.